to I Am Refocused Radio with your host, Shamaya Reed. This show is designed to inspire you to live your purpose and regain your focus. And now, here's your host, Shamaya Reed.
Hey, welcome to I Am Refocused Radio. Once again, just like any other time, we have another amazing show. We have a music artist today. His name is Eddie Mann. He is going to share not just his story, but he's going to talk about his music. He's going to talk about recent music. But first, we're going to learn more about him. So first and foremost, Eddie, man, thank you for taking time talking to us today. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I really appreciate being a part of the show. And I'm looking forward to taking some time and hang a little bit and talk about life, my little journey. basically my quest to fulfill my purpose here in life, you know.
And you have traditions rooted in Philadelphia. So kind of share with the audience a little bit of your background and how you got involved into the music industry.
Yeah, sure. I grew up in Philly, Philly born and bred, as they say. I grew up in a home that was a Christian church going home. And not the kind where I was preached at or beat over the head with the Bible, but a home that instilled a spiritual presence. And that has sort of carried me through a lot of the my journey. And as a young kid growing up and getting lost, as a lot of young people do, trying to find their way, I was fortunate to have some secure ground to stand on. And being a creative, I didn't always fit in the box in school. Fortunately, through athletics, I was able to hang with a bunch of really great guys growing up, and certainly being in a high school band helped a great deal. But in life in general, when if you have different ideas and different goals in life than what the established program says, sometimes it's difficult. You can have difficult days, difficult months, difficult years, trying to find your way. And for me, that part of the journey is probably what's been the most interesting, because it hasn't always been easy. In fact, for most of it, it hasn't been. But I have found a niche for myself in music that allowed me to express myself. And rather than being too shy to open up my mouth and voice my point of view, putting an instrument around my neck allowed me to, for whatever reason, have enough confidence to speak what was on my heart, what was in my mind. It took a while to find my way. I think most people in life want to they want to reach as many people as possible, and they tend to measure their success by how many people they have, how many they're reaching. Certainly in our world today, what's it? Followers, it's clicks, it's all this other stuff that the world wants you to measure your success that way. And not even dollars and cents, I don't think, can truly measure what you have to offer in the world. And I had to grow into a place where I realized that, no, I have a voice, I have a message. And from a spiritual point of view, it's important that the people that need to hear that get to hear it. As a songwriter, sometimes I'm the only one that needs to hear the song. Maybe it's a cathartic experience for me. And at other times, it may be one or two people. Then it may be 200 or 2,000 or whatever. But I think, when I meet young people or younger musicians out there, we're on the same bill playing together sometimes, that our discussion ends up in that area a lot. So for me, it was a matter of coming to a realization of what my purpose was, that it was okay for me to think and be outside the box, and to find some way to make my message available for other people. And then the world we have today, you know, you can, there are people sitting in their bedroom reaching countries very, very far away. So we're blessed with that, I think.
Listen, on Refocus Radio, talking to our guest today, Eddie Mann. And let's talk about your albums, because you have one that's coming later this year in June, Turn Up the Divine. But your most recent one, Chapel Songs, you released that last year. Tell us a little bit about that project and what was Songs.
Yeah, Chapel Songs was purposefully written for the church, almost as a worship album. I had a run, almost a 20-year run as a worship leader in a church right outside of Philadelphia. And during that time, I was encouraged to write for the church. So early on, I had the opportunity to do what many people wish. It was a blessing in itself. When that run was over, I continued to write, but I was writing more about what it was like to live in this world, what it was like as a believer to use my faith for strength and for guidance in making decisions, tough decisions sometimes. But when it came to right before Chapel Songs, I had done a couple albums that were more secular in their approach, and I wanted to do something. I wanted to go back to the church, and I wanted to create something that was simple in nature, simple melodies, simple messages that were biblically sound, and songs that could be used in small churches, because 9 out of 10 churches are small. Then we have these big mega churches, but most worship musicians are working in a confined, smaller area as far as bandmates and things like that. So that was the essence behind it. During the course of putting the project together, it grew a little bit more. It grew a little bit more musically, or harmonically than maybe I anticipated it to. But I think it's still in nature a pretty simple approach to worship, and it's kind of painted with broad colors. I think it can reach a lot of people in a lot of different walks of life.
And also, the album that's coming up later this year, Turn Up the Divine. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I have, during the past 2 years, as I was writing and in the studio with Chapel Songs, I had been writing a lot of other songs that didn't fit that format. They weren't songs to be sung directly to God in a worship position. So all these other songs are more kingdom songs, what it's like, again, to just get through the hard days and try to understand things that you don't, and figuring out how to change a world that seems so hung up in its own view of how things should be. So in that sense, I was excited about this. I had been supporting through live dates, the Chapel Songs album for the past year. So it was, I'm excited about something fresh and something new. I'll be out touring up through the mid-Atlantic states from mid-May to mid-September. And I'm excited about taking that particular record back out and introducing a lot of those songs to people, both in and out of church. So we'll see how those events go, but I'm also looking forward to hanging out with my bandmates who I haven't seen in 4 or 5 months now. So that'll be exciting again, too. I'm blessed in that way to have a bunch of guys that have figured out who I am, are inspired by what's passing through me, and keep their calendars open for when I have dates to do. So that in itself is an enormous blessing. A lot of people don't have that either, so I'm grateful for that.
And talking about inspiration, as an artist with a strong spiritual foundation, how do you yourself navigate the balance between your artistic expression and also conveying a message of faith to your listeners?
I went through a period when it was hard. I went through a period when I was trying to just figure out how to get myself out of the way and not make it about me as much as to make it about the message. It's, you know, we're all human. We all want attention. And anybody that's a creative wants a response from people. We want to try to have an emotional response when they see our artwork or when they hear our music. So I struggled with that early on until, as I said, I think at the very beginning, that I found my voice, I found my place, I found my purpose. When I say that, I mean, this new album is coming out, and for me, for this to be successful, it will reach everyone that God intended it to reach. That's the best I can do. I can, you know, work to let this creativity come through me, produce something out of it, some form of media, and then allow God to use it in the way that He sees fit. And I think sometimes it's different because you're trying to reach people different ways. I don't always, there was an album called Dig Love a while back. It was the first one I did when I left the church. And in there, I was really challenging people to follow their heart, follow the vision they had in life. I share this story a lot about a king that was really very, very wealthy. And he had this enormous fleet of ships built, quite a while ago, quite a long time ago. And he loved this fleet so much that he never wanted to leave port because he was afraid something would happen to it. And sure enough, a gale blew up and sunk the whole fleet in port. And I saw it as a great parallel, a great allegory for each and every one of us. We're all ships and we're meant to sail. And if I can inspire somebody at any age, you know, you don't have to be a young child or a teenager or in your 20s. You could be any age and realize a vision, a purpose in life, that it's never too late to do that. So there's a lot of stories like that within the songs of the new album. And they're the things that I enjoy sharing the most.
When it comes to your career, you have multiple releases underneath your belt. Can you describe a moment in your career where you follow your heart against conventional advice, and how did that decision impact your music and your production?
2016, I released an album called The Consequence. It was an election year, and most 9 out of 10 people seem to look at that as a political statement as to one party or the other. And it was not. The song itself was really about, when you got right down to it, for me, it was about apathy. It was about people not caring. It was about people not having a voice, choosing not to have a voice, choosing not to vote, choosing not to be heard. And I thought, man, the world's already struggling enough without anybody, not, you know, consciously trying to voice their opinion, their love, their vision. I keep coming back to that word vision because I think we all in our minds somewhere have a vision of what we would like the world to look like. Most of us, I don't know anyone who's satisfied with the way it looks right now. There were some that maybe thought that releasing that on election day was not a good thing. Because people would be looking within the lyrics for where did I really stand. And as much as I went out afterwards and even interviews like this afterwards, there was always this kind of push to, you know, which side are you on? And I kept telling, that's not what this is about. You know, this is really about, you know, standing up, being heard. And, you know, a lot of people have been crushed. They've been crushed by the system. They've been crushed by crushed by a system, I think, which is the best in the world, but humans have kind of abused it and gotten us to the place we're at today. But yeah, that was a challenge. Over the years since, it's become a very, it's a very positive album. It's found its place, and its audience has grown larger than maybe I thought it initially would. I'm an independent artist, so, I'm a big fish in a lot of little ponds. So there are niches and there are little nooks here and there where, there's audiences that are in tune with the releases as they come out. And, so I feel a certain responsibility to be, to do the best I can in presenting them, both the message and the musicality, and to follow my own, because I'm an independent, the bottom line is I need to make good decisions because it's all on me. When it's successful, it's all me. If it's not, it's all on me. The only finger pointing I can do is in the mirror.
We're talking to Eddie Mann. You go to his website. His website real quick is eddiemann.com. You used the word not too long ago, apathy. And I wanted to hit on point. Overcoming apathy by actively choosing to engage with meaningful pursuits can ignite, if you will, our passion and purpose. And ultimately, that will help shape a stronger, more defined vision for our work, our craftsmanship. For you,
amen.
How did you start to really start pursuing your craftsmanship with your music, understanding the impact that it could potentially have?
I think it was most of my, well, now I'm at a point where all of my strength and all my guidance comes from prayer, comes from a spiritual sense coming from the leaving that there's a source that's much stronger than me and can guide me through a lot of this. And a lot of these decisions. As a secular musician, when I was younger, I didn't have that. And there was a sense of more of a sense of vulnerability. But as I grew spiritually, I've grown to a place where I don't worry about those types of things anymore. I really do. I'm an avid prayer. I want to take things to a higher place and try to let that guide me. And if something feels good, I'm going to roll with it. If there's a red flag or something there, I'm going to put the brakes on. That happens not only in following my intuition, but when it comes to writing the songs, when it comes to arranging them, producing them, recording them, I don't want to be the person that is putting a blockade up. I want things to go where they need to go, and I just want to be the vehicle that they can pass through to get there. And then that ultimately transfers into the live performance of the songs. The songs are very rarely the same. The album and recorded version is a framework of what we're going to take out, because the emotion and the energy and the personalities in the room are going to shape what those songs, which songs and what those songs should sound like on any given night. And I'm fortunate to have some wonderful musicians who can work in that environment and agree with me that it has to happen that way. But all that's only made possible because I have confidence. I have confidence that I'm not ultimately making the decisions here. I'm going to trying to dig into, connect to a higher force or a higher place, a higher mentality, to help me, to guide me through it.
And speaking, guiding, being guided through that, my last question would be for you as an artist, what does reaching a higher place of meaning personally mean to you as you are still on your journey contributing to this growth?
I think my personal journey is ultimately what I'm looking at. I'm always trying to get deeper into my faith. I'm always trying to find different means of doing that, different means of studying, different means of meditating, praying. And the music and the performance of it is an outgrowth of that. I can only pray that as I progress on this journey in life, that I can share what it is that's passing through me, that I can reach somebody. I was sharing with somebody over coffee yesterday. Someone came up to me and felt really bad. They were reflecting on something I had been singing and it wasn't working for them. And when I told them what the meaning of the song was, they had this little smile and sparkle in their eyes and they apologized. And I said, no. I said, the problem wasn't that you didn't understand it. The problem was that I didn't get it to the point where you could understand it. I couldn't relay it. I couldn't, whatever, it was something blocking that message from passing through me into your ears. So that's the kind of stuff that those moments like that are good measuring sticks and continue to light a fire in me. To do a better job and to push my limits.
Listen, I'm Refocus Radio talking to our guest today, Eddie Mann. Real quick, go to his website, put it in the back of your head so that way when the show's over, you can go to it. It's eddiemann.com. Again, that's eddiemann.com. We mentioned that you have an album coming out later this year, June 7th, 2024. Turn Up the Divine real fast. Remind us a little bit about the project and what you hope listeners will be able to take away from those songs.
Okay, sure. Again, the album itself is a collection of things that I've lived through, experiences I've kind of lived through over the past 2 years. As a composition. Musically, there's a whole lot of different styles included in it. There's a little... Some reggae, some ska influenced stuff on there. Certainly some jazz stuff influenced in there. I'm a Philly boy, so there's always a little R&B, a little blue eyed soul that's in me from all my years located there in the city. And actually, the first single will be available May 1st. It's called "The Humble Cottage by the Sea," and a wonderful. For me, a wonderful allegory of a biblical story.
Once again, listen, I'm Refocus Radio. Like always, Eddie Mann wants to say not just thank you for your time, but being able to represent Philly like you just did on the show. Appreciate all the things that you're doing for the music community.
Thank you. Appreciate the time, and I appreciate the support.
Are you a business professional looking to share your latest news with a wider audience? Look no further than I Am Refocused Radio. We invite you to submit your press release to be featured on our blog section. With over 2,000 daily visitors, your news will reach a diverse and engaged audience. Best of all, this service is completely free. Simply email your press release to admin@iamrefocusradio.com. For guest inquiries or more information, reach out to admin@iamrefocusedradio.com. Let's amplify your voice together with I Am Refocused Radio. Submit your press release today.